good to see you. A reminder for the songsters, please, that those of you going, well, this afternoon for this evening's meeting, that you're asked to be here at 3:45. No, 3:15. I only just checked that out. Is it? 3:15 to leave here at 3:30. 3:15. We will be having a meeting this evening, of course, here at 6:00. On Tuesday, there will be the Luncheon Club and Evergreens. On Wednesday, the Home League. A reminder that we have Major Howard Webber coming next weekend, and that starts on the Saturday evening. There will be a meeting in this hall at 7:00, and then on Sunday, the meetings will be at the usual times of 10 and 6. Thanks to those people who supported the coffee morning yesterday. Eileen raised £140, and she's very grateful for that. Thank you.
Indeed. Thanks very much indeed, Eileen and company. And a particular thank you to all those who assisted on Thursday with the events which went on here at the hall. Tremendous gathering of folk. I don't think the hall has ever been fuller. And getting on for between 250 and 275 folk here. And it was a lovely worship situation, and folk who came, many of whom never darken a church door, were quite overwhelmed with the things which happened and also very responsive to the word. And that is what we need, isn't it? That's the business that we're in, is reaching out with the word to whosoever. And the Lord brings all kinds of strange situations in which we can do that. And indeed, we must seize each opportunity as it comes, and share the word. But also, we come to receive the word. I hope that's what you've come for today. It's going to be quite a strange day this evening, that the dozen of us that are left, or however many, I don't know who's going across to Stoke tonight. Those who are left, well, we've got an interesting evening planned with hopefully some... We can have a little bit more of an interactive tonight with the folk who remain. But if you aren't going with the songsters and you aren't doing anything else, so do come along at 6. It's better than the telly. And you never know what the Lord's got to say to you, do you? You don't know what he's got to say to you. And that there's so much the Lord wants to say to people that they never hear because, well, never bothered turning up. Didn't feel like it today. The bed was more comfortable. We've got other things to do. And they say, oh, I never get a blessing, but then they're not here to receive it. Ever so sad. But we're here, and we praise the Lord for that. And we're going to turn to 707 for our opening song this morning. The band has played the tune, albeit a little while ago now, so there we are. Who is on the Lord's side? It's a tremendous song, yes, and it's a great sing, but it's a question. You know, where do you stand? Where do I stand in relation to the God who gives us and gave us everything? Who is on the Lord's side? Well, I'll say, yeah, that'll do me. Who will serve the king? Ah, now that goes one step further, doesn't it? That's pushing it a bit, because that requires something of me, not just to be a supporter in the crowd for Chelsea or whoever it was yesterday, but to be on the pitch doing the business. Who will be his helpers, other lives to bring? That's even more. Because it's not just the waiting on, it's the actual bringing lives. And then who will leave the world's side? Who will burn the bridges, burn the boats? Who will face the foe? We don't like doing that. It's a tremendously powerful opening verse, that, if you take it on board. And if at the end of that you can answer, yeah, I'm up for that, then we can do mighty things in the Lord's name. Shall we stand, and we'll sing these verses through, and we'll come before the Lord this morning in a very active way. Thanks ever so much.
Thank you.
you'd like to take your seats. And 438, as having made that statement of who we are and what we are and what we intend, we remember that God loved us first, and his commitment to us is never ending. He wants the very best for us, right the way through life and beyond. And this love came down in Jesus. And the demonstration of commitment was the cross. And he couldn't do any more than that in terms of showing us the extent of his love. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Enter every longing heart. And that's a lovely telling line, that. Enter every longing heart. There is a need in us to want him to enter. He stands at the door and knocks. We read that in the book of Revelation. And if you let him in, he will come in. If you don't, he won't. He's going to force himself on you. Come, Almighty, to deliver. Let us all thy grace receive. Suddenly return, and never, never more thy temples leave. Has he left? There's that lovely verse in the Old Testament where the word Ichabod comes in, where it says the glory has departed. And down through church history, you can look and see there are times when the glory has departed. There are times in the Old Testament when he doesn't bother with folk anymore. You read the book of Jeremiah, where he says to the prophet Jeremiah, don't bother praying for these people anymore, because they've written themselves off. Don't go to a funeral with them, because you don't need to sorrow with them. Don't go to a wedding with them, because if you go to a wedding with them, that'll encourage them, and they're lost people. Not that he wants to write things off, but he knows the end from the beginning. And I wonder sometimes whether or not, if we knew the end from the beginning, we would mend our ways. We would be different people. If we could see the consequences of the little bits of actions that we do. It's a wonderful part of Scripture, Old Testament once again. You'll know it well, where the children of Israel are in slavery in Egypt. How did they get there? What was the cause of it all? The mess that they were in. And you have to trace it back into the book of Genesis, and you'll see one action which was the cause of it all, and that was the love of a father for Joseph, who made him a favourite. So what harm could that do? That little act was a consequence of that jealousy in the family. Joseph sold into slavery, Joseph in Egypt, then the brothers coming to him, then them staying there, and 400 years later you got all the trouble. And it started because of the love of a father for his child, which he didn't express to the other 11. How careful we must be in all that we do. If we could see the end from the beginning as the Father does, we would mend our ways. Come, Almighty, to deliver. Let us all thy grace receive. Suddenly return, and never, never more thy temples leave. That's what we need in our doing. Because when he comes, and you read it in Acts chapter 7, where the business of choosing people to wait on tables, you'll read that when you get home, and it says, pick 7 folk who are full of the Spirit and of wisdom. When the Lord comes with his Spirit, he gives us wisdom. And that wisdom we sorely need to try and to delve into the things of God and prepare ourselves for what is to come. Let's pray these verses through, and in the praying of them, ask the Lord in personally to change us and move us on this his day. Thanks very much, John. let's just come down before the Lord in prayer. Change from glory into glory. Lord, we do pray that for ourselves. We want so much to improve, to become more and more and more like you. Help us never to be content with where we are, never to have had enough, never to think that we are full of your grace and that there is nothing more for us. Ever seeking, Lord, we would come before you today and ask that you reach into our lives and that you teach us through your word and through our worship, that you will come to us anew, as you promised, that you would bring new things out for us continually. Help us to listen and to learn. We're mindful of folk who'd love to be here, particularly those who are not well. We think of Eric as he continues to improve presently, and we praise you for that, Lord. And we think also of Ethel in hospital as she continues to improve, we hope, we pray. And others, Lord, many others who are your servants, but now in a position whereby they can no longer be active in your work. But Lord, help them to pray and to keep encouraging us all through your Spirit. As we come before you today, Lord, once again we ask that you touch us with your healing hand, that you reach us with the power of your love, and you fill us once more with your grace and send us out into the world empowered by you. In the name of Jesus, amen. We can listen to the songsters if we may. Thank you very much, Tom. Thanks very much, songsters. And that's a great song, great tune to that. Terry Camsey, I think, was responsible for that. And it's grand. Again, thanks once more for all those folk who have assisted this week in anything that's needed to be done. And there are lots of things that are going off. We've had for some weeks now, on a Friday and a Monday, that Royden and a few other folk have run this kind of soup kitchen for the folk who find themselves on the streets for whatever reason. And that's going very, very well. Although we did have a bit of an incident on Friday. We had to call an ambulance because somebody collapsed. But that's another story. Maybe it was better that they collapsed here than somewhere else. But thanks for all those who are involved in that. If you'd like to help with that, then you're more than welcome so to do. That 12 o'clock through till 2 on Mondays and Fridays for the foreseeable future. That there is some funding. We don't have to pay anything for it. It's just the use of the building. And it brings folk in, and they're very keen to talk, because they are very marginalised folk, some of these people. And if you want to get involved with that, then have a word with yours truly, or have a word with Royden, or just turn up and offer your services. They will be more than welcome. And you will be blessed by that which goes on. And we look forward to next weekend. As Keith has said, I'd reiterate that Saturday evening is the start of the weekend. If you can possibly come Saturday evening, you know, get down here, because it continues on through into Sunday morning. Then Sunday evening, I was talking to Howard this week, and he said, look, I've got this thing, I really want to do something on Sunday evening a bit different. That always sort of makes me flinch a little bit, knowing Howard. But he said, I've got a thing about Adam and Eve and what's in it for any of us. He said, can you do me a little job on Monday, put it in the paper, advertise it in the newspaper? And so we'll do that. Stick an advert in the paper and invite folk to come and to share in worship, but also to share in teaching, which I think you'll find is quite profound. I don't know what he's going to bring to us, but I know this, that his ministry over the years has been a profound ministry. It really has. There are folk who have come to Christ in considerable numbers as a consequence of the way that the Lord has used him. He is the most humble of people, but really well worth coming to and to listen to. So if you're able to get down on Saturday evening, I don't know the format of stuff. I don't know whether he wants any music or whatever yet. I will know this week, but we'll just use a piano, I hope, and we'll work on from there. We've got the singing company with us this morning, and they're all ready and primed and ready to go. And we've got them all there. And Gabby's back to sort of semi-normal now, isn't she? Semi-normal. She a pest at home? Yeah? Oh, she's not that normal yet, because they haven't said, oh, yeah, she's a real pest at home, so she can't be too bad. So we listen with eager anticipation, can we? Indeed. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, singing company. Doing a grand job. Thanks, Nigel, for twiddling the knobs at the back there. But we anticipate in the not-too-distant future being able to... You know, when folk come, we use a projector quite frequently. They have the drawbacks, and I'm not a great one. I have to be absolutely honest in terms of working meetings around what's on a screen. I really aren't. But it would be a useful tool to have for all sorts of things. It would come into many aspects of what we do worship-wise, etc., and also for visiting folk who come with their a lot of stuff prepared on a CD these days. And we want to try and get some... We've got some cash together. If anyone's feeling particularly generous and would like to contribute to a purchase kind of fund for that, then we'd be more than happy to... receive a few bob, we really would, because it's going to cost about £2,700 or thereabouts. We have got some cash that we can access for the use of that, okay? And we could do with a little bit more. So we look to the future and to DHQ for their blessing and approval, as we always do. Praise the Lord. And... And we finally sorted out last year's books with them, haven't we, Pete? Yes. That's great. Okay, we're going to take up the offering now as part of our worship, and then we shall soldier on. Thank you very much. Lord, we do thank you for all the gifts that you give to us. And you've equipped the whole wide world that indeed we might make a joyful noise unto you, giving talents as appropriate to each, that we might bring them back to you and offer them for your service. Lord, we need resources. Resources in order that we might honour you and spread your word. We ask, Lord, that you give them to us, and that we might be bold enough to give them to you sacrificially, that we might indeed make a meaningful contribution to your kingdom here in this town. Amen. Amen. 609, as we come into the time in our meeting when we turn to the Word of God. For that's what we believe it is, do we not? It's an eternal Word, and I can't get over how down all these years this one volume has so much to say to us all, and that week after week after week that praise goes forth from it and teaching goes forth from it. And we're privileged to be able to come and take our pick of where we go to listen to it. There to learn and become all that we intend to become. Lord, give me more soul-saving love. That perhaps is the start of it all. The need for soul-saving love. Send a revival from above. Thy mighty Spirit pour. The army of salvation bless with righteousness and holiness, pressed down and running o'er. Great prayer, this is of William Pearson's. If you'd like to stand, we will pray these verses through. Particularly the last one. Give power to speak thy conquering word, to wield the Spirit's two-edged sword, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it says in Ephesians chapter 6. And all hell's legions rout. It's a war we're in. We must never get to a position of détente where we slacken the bowstrings and sit down with the enemy. Touch us with the living coal. Kindle fire in every soul that never will die out. Well, let's stand and we'll bring these words before the Lord before we come to listen to the word.
Thank you. be seated, please. Our Bible readings this morning are Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, and that's on page 968. 968, chapter 5, verse 6, and then just over the page to 971, and that's chapter 6 and verse 33, and then chapter 32 of Isaiah, which is page 716. I'll remind you of that one. So it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Turn over to chapter 6, verse 33, and we read, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And then to Isaiah, and that's Isaiah 32 on page 716, and it's verse 17. "The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever." May the Lord bless his word. Our souls take quite a battering when once we cease to be children. We then quickly assimilate as we grow into our adult life, accumulate the baggage of worldly life, and slowly the space gets filled, and bit by bit, things we had held dear, treasured in fact, give way to the demands of life. In the simple everyday things, there are special toys, special places, and perhaps in later years at times we go back and stand and remember that as a child we stood in awe in this situation or with this particular thing or in that space. But it passed. It gave way to the demands of life. Faith remains often, but true to tell, the competition does at times push it aside. Our appetite, our hunger, now consumed by worldly goals and desires, the heaven-born spirit, which is within us all, the heaven-born spirit within us is subdued and neglected often. In our readings, we are told to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, that isn't referring to children and Sunday schools. Full stop. No. Here, Jesus is calling grown men and women back to his priority. First, he says, before all else, for all time, for the totality of life, we must constantly seek first righteousness in our inner self. The mind which was in Christ Jesus is our search. Now, this hunger and thirst, in like manner to our bodily hunger and thirst, which we know are the strongest of all our bodily appetites, this other hunger and thirst in the soul, this thirst after the image of God, is the strongest of all our spiritual appetites. For now, we long to be renewed after the likeness of him that created us. Daily, we need food and water. Our hunger and thirst go with us as long as life lasts. So it should be with our spiritual appetites. Once awakened, we should seek, hunger and thirst after the whole mind which was in Christ. Poor food and drink makes men and women weak. No food and drink. They starve and eventually die. Our heaven-born spirit, our Christ-likeness, fed badly, carelessly, misled or starved, also dies, leaving only the form, the appearance of. Thus we see much that is form, appearance, outwardly displaying relationship, whilst inwardly sleeping at best. It is this danger, this corruption, which so weakens the individual and the faith. Jesus calls us to thirst and hunger after righteousness. He offers us no alternatives, no other way. He is saying, be satisfied with nothing else, seek nothing else, but to be renewed after the likeness of him that created us. Everything, everything swallowed up in this one desire to be like Jesus. We sing, don't we? To be like Jesus. This hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed. To be like Jesus. This hope possesses me. His spirit helping me. Like him, I'll be. No shallow form. No mere observance. No, nothing, neither goodness or piety, can take the place of the life. The way which is being joined unto the Lord in one spirit, to have fellowship with God, to walk in the light. God's light, in his purity, this and this alone must be we hunger and thirst for. This alone is the religion and the righteousness. Where do we seek? Where Luke? Where find such food and drink? Romans 1:17. For therein, in the Gospels, is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In the Gospels we will find it. And remember, our thirst will never be quenched. Praise the Lord, it will never be quenched this side eternity. For blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Because the good Lord will satisfy his people with the blessings of his goodness. They will be fed with the bread of heaven, with the manna of his love. And throughout all their days, this love will flow unceasing in all our circumstances, at all times, in all places, in all circumstances. John Wesley writes of the world, "Oh, trample underfoot all its pleasures, despise its honours, count its riches as dung and dross, yea, and all things which are beneath the sun, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for the entire renewal of thy soul in that image of God wherein it was originally created. Beware of quenching that blessed hunger and thirst by what the world calls religion, a religion of form, of outside show, which leaves the heart as earthly and sensual as ever. Let nothing satisfy thee but the power of godliness, but a religion that is spirit and life, thy dwelling in God and God in thee." This morning I pray that for each of us, God's way and God's priority will be ours. That truly we will each one hunger and thirst after God's true way and be filled continually all the days of this life. We must make this our prayer this morning. especially after the week we've had. We must make this our prayer, that we will grow and seek and thirst after righteousness, that we will be pure as we were created. And that we will do that until God calls us. Could we turn, please, to 107, To Be Like Jesus? We'll sing it through a few times, just as the Spirit leads. And just now, just in these moments, with that lovely chorus before our eyes, in our souls, perhaps this is our soul's moment here this Sunday morning. Just now, as we rest in his presence, as we trust in his name, this is God's moment, surely, for us. And perhaps he's just speaking to someone here. Perhaps he's come very close, suddenly, unexpectedly. Perhaps he calls in this morning hour. Perhaps he asks you to do something, to be something, to search for something. Perhaps he asks you to seek. We'll sing the chorus again, and just as the Lord wishes, just as he wills, respond. Do his will. Come and kneel if you wish, if he calls. Whatever it is he asks, in this moment, say yes. Let us turn to 531, please. 531. Touch me with thy healing hand, Lord. Take the life I fully yield. Teach thy word and tell thy will, Lord. Test the heart that thou hast sealed. In me, Lord, in me, Lord. Thy will fulfill in me, Lord. Let us sing these lovely words, keeping very close to our Saviour this morning, and still willing to say yes if he calls. Again, we will just read once more these words I found, because it is the most important thing in all our worship, in all our religion, in all that we're doing, in all our despair at times, that what is happening within our movement and other religions. Oh, if only we would listen to words written many, many years ago. Oh, trample underfoot all its pleasures, despise its honours, count its riches as dung and dross, yea, and all things which are beneath the sun, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, for the entire renewal of thy soul in that image of God wherein it was originally created. Beware of quenching that blessed hunger and thirst by what the world calls religion, a religion of form, of outside show, which leaves the heart as earthly and sensual as ever. Let nothing satisfy thee but the power of godliness, but a religion that is spirit and life, thy dwelling in God and God in thee. Thank you, John. Let us pray. Dear Lord, that's our prayer, Lord. We humbly bring it to you. And Lord, we seek and thirst and hunger. And sometimes, Lord, we starve. Oh Lord, come in power this morning to each soul here. And may we be willing, Lord, to be filled through and through. And may we, Lord, be obedient to seek day by day, to hunger and thirst, until that day, Lord, when we will meet you face to face in the heavenly place of your eternity. Lord, fill us now. Comfort us now. Give us the courage, Lord, in and through your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.